B-Pod Studios.
Jimmy! Jimmy, who doesn't love Jimmy?
I can't stand him.
Yeah, you know what? Your phone's never right, Jay Stu. What you need to do is
stick to wrestling.
Stick to wrestling with James Stewart.
Happy Tuesday, May the 9th. It is Stick to Wrestling. We are presented by FanDuel.com. Two episodes this week. You're welcome. The Tiffany Stratton interview. She's an NXT superstar who I talked to yesterday in promotion of their show, of the NXT show in Lowell, Massachusetts, Battleground, May 28th. That kind of happened very quickly. And she was a sweetheart. And she might have big things on the horizon. I think there's a reason why I was talking to her, you know, about 3 weeks before the show. I think she's probably going to win the tournament. Don't know that. Don't know the creative. But it wouldn't surprise me if Tiffany Stratton is going to be the next NXT Women's Champion. There was some reporting that she, when Indy Hartwell was hurt and medically paused, that she was going to win the championship, and that he told her so. I don't know if that's true. I could probably ask and find out, but that's pretty wild when, if that story is true and the referee says, oh, now you're going over and you're winning your championship, only to have the champion or another wrestler who was supposed to win come back and then win. That's wild to me. That's wild to me if that reporting is accurate. I don't know that it is. Maybe I'll ask in some point in time and find out. That's not where I'm starting. I just wanted to mention that Tiffany was really sweet, really nice. And I was appreciative that NXT and the people in WWE gave me that interview and helped out with the Shawn Michaels conversation that Mike Riley and I had last week, which is something that you should check out as well. The Shawn Michaels conversation is one of my all-time favorites. Top 2, 3, 4, 5 that I've ever had. And I say that being a Bret Hart guy, but I selfishly listened back to that Shawn Michaels conversation. I'm like, this is good. This is really good. It was really just a chill conversation with the Heartbreak Kid. And I say that still, I'm a Bret Hart guy, but want to lead off. I got a couple things. I got some Backlash thoughts. I got some Raw thoughts. I got somebody who I think should be the Raw World Heavyweight Champion that was not in the bracket, or at least not in the bracket that I saw. Want to start out with AEW and really congratulate them, Tony Khan, his entire group, for selling 60,000 tickets to their Wembley Stadium show in London without announcing a match. That is a credit to their staff, their promotions, the AEW brand, if you will, that they're going overseas and they sold out a football stadium, or they're going to sell out a football stadium, or they're going to come close to selling out a football stadium. 60,000 tickets sold. That is nothing to sneeze at. And if I saw correctly, there's only minimal tickets on the secondary market. So these are all people who are going to see the show. These aren't scalpers, or they're minimal scalpers that are like buying it up and hoping to kind of gouge the fan who really wants to go and really wants to sit close to the ring, because ticket scalpers, you know, they're what they are. This is the world that we live in. And they're allowed to mark up ticket prices and resell if they get their hands on the tickets by whatever means necessary. And I'll share this story. I know that WWE at one point had an agreement with StubHub, so they would purposely give StubHub all the good tickets so that they could mark it up and profit it. But I know that it was a shady business deal, because let's selling and buying tickets is a shady deal anyway, unless you're a season ticket holder to many of these things. But AEW should be congratulated on their London show, their sellout. They're actually doing Moxley and Omega in a cage on Wednesday night, which is fascinating to me. But they're running an NBA basketball arena, so they're trying to sell out 17,000 fans locally. I'll tell you what, Moxley and Omega in a cage, if I was on the fence about going to the show, I'd go to the show. I think it's in Detroit. But they got to sell out the hockey and basketball arena, so they're doing Moxley and Omega in a steel cage. All right, on to the WWE stuff. I thought Backlash was outstanding. I thought it was a really strong show, top to bottom. They had everything. And that crowd in Puerto Rico, what a crowd. What a crowd for that. But I don't want it to be lost on the show that Bianca Belair and Io Sky had about as good a 20-minute match as the women's division has seen this year. I would say this match and the Charlotte Flair Rhea Ripley match at WrestleMania, they're not only in the conversation for women's match of the year in WWE, they're in the conversation for the match of the year. And it's just, it's a credit to those two performers. Bianca Belair might be, and I know she's been the Raw Women's Champion for more than a year now, but I can't stress enough how she might be the best women's wrestler in the world right now. And I was saying this, I watched Backlash with my friend Amir, who I mentioned a bunch of times before. And in real time, I was saying how there are small little details that Bianca Belair does within a match that maybe the casual fan doesn't notice and promotes safety above all else and the execution of the move to go smoothly. It's something that an AJ Styles would do. There's this famous scene of how AJ Styles knew that James Ellsworth wasn't positioned properly for the Styles Clash. So AJ adjusted so that he didn't injure James Ellsworth. In the same way, Bianca Belair has had a couple of occasions where somebody isn't properly set in their move, and she will just take that extra second or two, adjust them, and execute the move properly. And Belair's, just from my point of view, the 30-plus year fan, her ring awareness, her facial expressions, her athleticism, just everything she does, she is the perfect flag bearer for being the Raw Women's Champion, or, you know, if they end up doing the belt swap, the SmackDown Women's Champion, or if they end up doing the Rhea Ripley Bianca Belair title for title unification match, I mean, that's going to be outstanding. And, you know, you harken back, you can look at their NXT work against each other, and you know that they can put on good matches. But I'm kind of petrified of them just doing a belt handoff. I'd rather see a match unify the championships or keep the Raw belt on SmackDown, keep the SmackDown belt on Raw. I don't care. AEW does the TBS champion and the TNT champion, and they wrestle on different networks. It's all the same. It's all WWE branding, and it's probably good cross promotion. Like, oh, there's the SmackDown champion and she's on Raw. Like, at the end of the day, who cares? Like, I don't think that anybody is going to complain that Bianca Belair or Rhea Ripley shouldn't be their champions, the two women's champions right now. I certainly wouldn't make that case. But Io Sky put on an outstanding performance. And there was a part during the match towards the end when Damage Control comes out and does the run-in where I'm like, oh, they're going to switch it to Io Sky. That's great. And then Io Sky can say that she got a championship off of Bianca Belair. She won the NXT Women's Championship, if I remember correctly, in a triple threat with Rhea and with Charlotte Flair. So that's a great accomplishment to say that Io Sky won two championships, one from Charlotte Flair and one from Bianca Belair over the course of her WWE run. Like, that's good stuff. And Io Sky is a tremendous performer. I'm glad that she got those 20 or so minutes to showcase what she can actually do.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Bad Bunny performance over Damian Priest. I still think that Bad Bunny is going to have a match with Roman Reigns. I think it, if I'm guessing and projecting, it's Saudi Arabia, although it may be Detroit and SummerSlam. But if they're going to do the celebrity thing, Bad Bunny has been about as good a pro wrestler, a good a sports entertainer that, I mean, if Roman's just, you know, doing these one-offs with people, then Let Bad Bunny get a crack at the world title. Let Bad Bunny get a crack at Roman's titles. And we know Bad Bunny's going to lose, but it's still like people will tune in to see the performance. Like there are young people who didn't know that Bad Bunny was a wrestler. And I didn't know what Bad Bunny was until he became a wrestler. And I also know, because I think I reported in real time, that Bad Bunny was training hard in NXT to become a good pro wrestler, a good sports entertainer. And so you're seeing the fruits of that labor and that hard work that was really put in. One of the other things from Backlash that I noticed and loved was the interplay in the Bloodline defeating Matt Riddle, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn in that six-man tag. Good six-man tag. The solo Jey Uso stuff is outstanding. The hard tags in and out, the solo almost nails Jey with the Samoan spike, the finish. And now you've got more interplay and more dissension between the members of the Bloodline. And there are a couple things that you could have done here, but I still think that Jey Uso should win Money in the Bank, or he should win the Raw world title. I could make a case that Solo should win the Raw world title or Money in the Bank. I'd rather see, like, as we're talking right now, May 9th, I'd like to see Jey Uso win the Money in the Bank briefcase and create that extra level of paranoia for Roman Reigns. That's just what I would like to see. Cause if I just keep going to this comment that Paul Heyman made, that we're in the third inning of the Roman Reigns title run, which I know a lot of people are frustrated by. The third inning of the, I mean, if so, that's year 3 of 9, I think, if I'm reading that correctly, unless something happens. But I love the interplay, the little details, things like that. And the Bloodline still won the match. And that's kind of feels like why Matt Riddle was in it, was just to take the Samoan spike in a pinfall. But that was good stuff. And the interplay is just, it keeps you interested. Dissension amongst the group. The Cody Rhodes defeating Brock Lesnar match. Cody Rhodes got a flash pin on Brock Lesnar in a match that, Brock busted himself open on the turnbuckle, and they didn't try to staple his head shut because it seemingly was planned through the match and it was part of the story of the match. And if you watched Raw last night, Brock Lesnar interfered in the triple threat match that was to set up the world, part of the world, the Raw World Championship tournament, even though it has SmackDown competitors, but I digress. So the Brock Cody story continues, and they've already announced that it's going to be Brock and Cody at Night of Champions in Saudi Arabia. This is a story that I really didn't know that I needed or didn't really know that I wanted. But I think that there's a layer to it that Cody overcoming the beast, literally slaying the beast like Seth Rollins did years ago. But Cody Rhodes overcoming Brock Lesnar is similar to, I think, how the WWE and maybe its fan base, you know, 20 years ago viewed a Triple H not tough enough, a Randy Orton not tough enough. And so they have stories with Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, and their blood feuds. So this is really like Cody's blood feud is with Brock Lesnar. And if he gets by Brock Lesnar, then the Money in the Bank is on the table. And maybe there's more fans who are believers in Cody. And so if he gets that, I still think the play is that if you're going to have Cody finish the story, finish his story, it's Madison Square Garden. They have a SmackDown there in July, and he wins Money in the Bank whenever that pay-per-view is. And he says, my dad, Dusty Rhodes, held the championship, the WWWF championship in Madison Square Garden. That's where he held the championship over his head. I'm challenging Roman Reigns for the SmackDown at Madison Square Garden. That's my shot. That's how I'm going to win the world title. That's where I want to win the world title, is Madison Square Garden. Because that quote unquote finishes the story. And then they can have the rematch at SummerSlam a few weeks later, and then you can do whatever you want to do. But I think that should be the clear path for Cody. He beats Brock. He wins the Money in the Bank. And then he wins it at Madison Square Garden. And he has to call his shot. He can't do one of these run-in cash-ins because I think that that would create a frustration. Like, you've built Roman Reigns up for 1,000 days as champion, and he's going to lose it on a cash in, like a random cash in, not a, like, I think John Cena and Rob Van Dam are the only two Money in the Bank winners who have quote unquote called their shot. Van Dam at an ECW show. And I think Cena did it. Van Dam did it at ECW One Night Stand, the second one. And I think John Cena did it on a Monday Night Raw. And I think that ended in a disqualification, something like that. I could Google it. I'd choose not to. But I think Cody should call a shot. And I know it's the middle of the summer, but it kind of feels that way. Oh, I will say that Big E did say that he was going to cash in the Friday before the Raw that he actually did cash in. But Bobby Lashley was just in a 20-minute fight with Randy Orton. He retained. And then, like, I'm talking about, you've set and you've promoted. It's one-on-one. It's Cody versus Roman Reigns. It's on network TV. And that's how Cody. And by the way, I'm not advocating for Cody to win. I'm just saying that that, I think, would be the piece to the story. I think that that would be Cody really authentically finishing the story. But the way that they took Cody out of the world title tournament was smart. In the a triple threat match has no disqualifications. Here comes Brock. Brock's all bruised up and he's like, I want to fight you now. And, you know, for Cody to bloody up and bruise up Brock, like, that's a big deal. That's a big, big deal. Seth Rollins did end up winning the Raw side of the world title tournament. I'm good with it. I'm good if Seth Rollins becomes the first or the new incarnation of the Raw world champion. I think he deserves it. I think his work has been outstanding. I would have argued very strongly for him to be my 2022 wrestler of the year, even though I don't know that he won 3 matches. And if they're against Riddle, maybe they don't count. And by the way, I'm not hating on Riddle, but
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
So who should he fight? I kind of think he should fight Edge. And there's 2 prongs to this. One is you rekindle the Seth Rollins Edge feud, which was outstanding. If Seth Rollins wins, he's the deserving winner and Edge is happy because he got to put Seth Rollins over, I'm sure. If Edge wins, doesn't that kind of complete a story for Edge? Edge had to hand over a world championship, had to retire for 9 years, comes back. He fails in multiple opportunities against Roman Reigns. But now he can have his last run as a world champion and they can put him back on Raw because I don't know what Edge does on SmackDown unless I'm missing something, but I don't know what Edge's value is to SmackDown. I don't see a story right now for Edge on SmackDown. Other than maybe the network wanted him or something along those lines, but I don't see that story for Edge on SmackDown. I always think of, I know Edge made his name being the world champion on SmackDown, but I always think of like Edge as like the rated R superstar on Raw. And maybe it's because he won his first world championship. He did that, the live sex scene with Lita on Raw. Maybe that's why I remember Edge more like a predominant Raw superstar. Rated RKO, I think, was predominantly Raw, even though, like, you know, he had that story with The Undertaker on SmackDown over the world title, but I don't know. Just in my mind, Edge is like a Raw superstar. But so either way, if it's Seth Rollins, if it's Edge, if it's, you know, those are the two people that I would put based on the bracket. I'll tell you who I think actually should be the Raw world champion. It's Dominic Mysterio. And you're out there and you're saying, Dominic Mysterio, like, why him? Have you heard the crowd reactions? The crowd hates Dominic Mysterio. Capitalize on that. Be a year early on Dominic Mysterio instead of a year too late on Dominic Mysterio. because there's so much more that they could add to the Rey Mysterio storyline, the Rey and Dominic storyline. If Dominic wins the world championship, he can brag. He can say, it only took me 5 years to become the world champion in WWE, Rey. It took you 10. It took you 15. I don't know what the number is before. And I did it on my own. I did it the right way. And of course, you know, Dominic's full of it, right? But Dominic Mysterio, the Raw World Champion, because I think Dominic's work has been outstanding right along. And then at the end of it, maybe Rey upsets him, becomes the world champion. And then Rey gets his last kind of shot with the belt. And then it goes wherever it goes. But Dominic Mysterio for Raw World Champion. I'm going to make the bumper sticker. Roman Reigns returns to SmackDown on Friday. I joked with somebody about how it's probably going to be a pre-tape, but it probably won't be. He'll probably be there live and they'll continue on the Bloodline story. But that's it as far as I have, as far as notes for this week's Stick to Wrestling. Again, I might have some more NXT stuff. We'll see. They're doing the big show, their Battleground show in Lowell. And they've reached out and they're helping. They want me to help promote, so I'm happy to do so. The Sports Hub Twitter account, they wanted to break the NXT women's bracket. You might see that on their TV tonight, that the Sports Hub, we broke that story. We'll see. But I think their NXT women's tournament starts tonight on NXT if you're listening to this on Tuesday. So I will be back soon, maybe with another guest. Maybe it's just me blabbing into a microphone, but we'll see. But everybody, happy wrestling this week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.